Hey guys, my name is Amy Coonan, and I am a millennial on a mission to eat, clean, cook, dress, and live more sustainably. It's because of that that I'm also the host of The Town Hall, Rubicon's first and only podcast where we share sustainability stories from the industry's influencers and the biggest brands. Jam-packed with tips, tricks, and need-to-know info for those that want to do better for the planet but may not know where to start. We are covering it all. Last year, we spoke to some incredible people who are doing some incredible things for our planet. The executive director of the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation, the CEO of Seven Generation Cleaning Products, and one of the brains behind environmental sustainability in the NBA. This season, we're kicking it up a notch. Don't forget to download and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or iHeartRadio so that you don't miss a minute. And if you can't catch us on your commute or you don't download directly, don't stress. You can check out our website at rubicon.com/townhallpodcast for recaps, reviews, and all things Town Hall. Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Town Hall. Today, I am very excited to have Matt Stockham, the sustainability lead for literally one of my favorite shoe and accessory brands of all time, Nisolo. I was turned on to the products almost 4 years ago. Actually, one of my old co-workers at Rubicon was an intern in Nashville. So having you on today is like a 4+ year old dream coming to fruition for me. So Matt, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Amy. It's such a joy to get to share more about Nisolo and the journey that we're on with you. Great to hear you've been a fan of the brand for a while too.
Okay, so let's start off simple. Take me through your professional timeline a little bit. You know, where did your path to Nisolo look like, and where do you think you sparked your passion for sustainability?
Definitely started in college. I went to school at Santa Clara University. Didn't know about the impact of the fashion industry at that time. After my junior year, I got to go spend a summer in India through a fellowship program there, and I got paired to do a research project for this organization called Good World Solutions. Basically, what they were doing, they were distributing mobile surveys in these factories to factory workers so that factory workers themselves could have more of a direct connection with the brand to share about how their factories were doing with things like wages and working hours, all of the typical issues that you hear of in the fashion industry. And so just with that 3 months that I got to spend in India, it really exposed me to a lot of the problems that are going on in the fashion industry. 98% of the estimated 75 million factory workers around the world are not making a living wage. I got to spend a lot of time with labor unions and get to hear people as well just share about some of the challenges that, you know, earning $3 a day can create for them and their families. I got to also see firsthand some of the waste issues that fashion has created. I remember being outside of Delhi in India, visiting some factories and just seeing immense landfills, most of the contents of which were textiles. And so I got back to school my senior year after that experience in India and just started to think about the issues of the industry. And I started to think about what the solutions might be for this industry as well. And thinking about what would it look like if brands were actually paying a living wage to their factory workers? Could this industry actually be a major vehicle for poverty eradication, for reversing climate change as well? Fashion emits about 8% of global carbon emissions annually, and so it's a huge emitter. It's on track to emit 26% by the year of 2030 if we don't do anything about it. And so kind of just seeing the issues and thinking about how it could be done differently pointed me towards wanting to really focus in and hone in on my career on working for a brand that was doing things differently. So that was around 2015. I knew I wanted to move abroad and get down to Latin America, and I identified Nisolo as a brand that was doing things differently. So Nisolo has been in existence since 2011. We own and operate a factory down in Peru where we pay our factory workers a living wage. And I got to start as an intern in 2015 there doing social impact assessment and really kind of tailoring some livelihood training programs around financial literacy and other things for our people there. Sustainable fashion has kind of blown up since then, and I've gotten to grow with the company since then as well. So I'm coming up on 6 years with Nisolo. I'm the sustainability lead there, and essentially my job is to figure out the impacts that we're having on all of the people who engage with our product, from the supply chain to the customer as well, and then measuring our environmental footprint as well and getting creative about finding ways to reduce and offset those emissions. So that's kind of a quick overview of what I get to do every day.
That's awesome. And I think, you know, both of us are very lucky to be working for such mission-driven brands. Talk to me a little bit about the mission and inspiration behind Nisolo.
Yeah. So our vision is to push the fashion industry in a more sustainable direction. I shared a little bit more about some of the issues that are prevalent in the fashion industry. We want to see a fashion industry that values people and the planet just as much as the end customer. So we started in 2011, really mostly focused on social impact. We were looking to connect talented shoemakers with the global market. They didn't have that connection before, and as a result, were not receiving the wages that they needed to support themselves and their family members. So we really started with a social mission in mind and have since really moved into a lot of the environmental as well. We really believe that it's about caring for people and the planet. It doesn't have to be mutually exclusive. We're seeing more and more brands kind of launch with a focus on either one or the other. And one of the reasons that we've been inspired to do things like B Corp certification and climate neutral certification is because we really believe that as brands, we're accountable for all of our impacts and getting creative about just finding solutions to some of the problems that we see every day in the fashion industry.
So I did want to talk about a few points of pride for the company because, you know, a lot of times a company can talk the talk, but Nisolo walks the walk. And I think that's awesome. And we've talked a lot on the show in the past about telling a company's green story and how certifications are a big part of that. So we talked already about, you know, providing living wages, and you mentioned B Corp certification. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that process. But talk to me about climate neutrality and the 0% net carbon. What do those points of pride mean for the company?
Yeah, that's been such a fun journey for us. We've been climate neutral certified since 2020. And we've been doing environmental conservation work in the Peruvian Amazon since 2018. For us, we believe it's really important to be doing conservation work in the communities where we're sourcing our products. That's a point of pride for us. And one of the major reasons that we wanted to get climate neutral certified is because it really supported us in learning more about our carbon emissions and figuring out a really innovative way to begin measuring those emissions. So much of the emissions from the fashion industry, the things that are required to make the t-shirt you're wearing or the shoes that you're wearing, are scope 3 emissions. Basically, scope 3 is indirect. It's those emissions that are happening at the cotton farm or on the farm for leather production as well. And so they can be difficult to measure if you don't have an organization like Climate Neutral supporting you. So we decided to work with them for that reason. And really, since doing that, we've been able to champion conservation work in the specific national park in Peru, the Cordillera Sul, for several years now. We're protecting mature trees from deforestation versus planting new trees. It's been found that that's a more effective way of capturing carbon. And so since the launch of our conservation work in 2018, we've protected nearly 600,000 trees from deforestation in an area that's approximately the size of 4 square miles. If you do the equivalent in soccer fields protected, it's about 869. And so for us, it's really about measuring those emissions. We've been reducing them as well. We've gotten innovative about figuring out ways to utilize ocean shipments and find other ways to reduce the emissions of our raw materials as well with Leather Working Group certified tanneries. And it's just been a fun journey with that organization. I think they have approximately 250 brands that are certified now. Basically, when you see that climate neutral certification stamp, you can trust that that organization is measuring their emissions, their scope 1, 2, and 3. They have a reduction plan in place. They've often proven reductions as well. And then they're offsetting all of those emissions also through third-party verified conservation work.
I wanted to talk about another, you know, like you said, fun journey, because one of the coolest things, in my opinion, about Nisolo is the Amazonian tree protection program with each pair of shoes sold. So I actually did some research on you, Matt, and I came across a blog post that you authored about visiting, you know, this big national park in Peru. Walk me through that eye-opening experience for you. How do you think that this experience changed the view on your work?
That was an incredible experience. Yeah, I got to go. That would have been around 3 years ago. We went into this area that is highly protected. Tourists aren't allowed to go there. It's the national park system kind of equivalent in Peru that protects this area. And so, yeah, we went into virgin rainforest that hasn't been touched, you know, by anyone with machetes to go see what was going on there and kind of the work that they were doing, really supporting indigenous communities in that rainforest on sustainable land management. For me, it was a really interesting trip because I think I started to recognize just how interconnected people and planet are. You know, we talk about investing in conservation work, but this investment is really investing in people. The work itself is supporting education programs for communities on how to farm more sustainably. And so rather than relying completely on coffee production, which can be pretty intense on the land and require deforestation to continue planting more and more coffee, Peru's government actually supports these communities by teaching them how to cultivate a more diverse crop. And so through that diversification, these farmers are then able to have year-round income and they're able to rely on the land and not need to cut into it further. And so it was a really eye-opening trip in that way. And it was just really eye-opening as well to be in such a wild, wide-open space. I think it's easy to think in our globalized world that these spaces are not around anymore, but they still are, and they're really precious places to be, and they're important spots to protect as well. So we're really grateful to be a part of that work.
I wanted to talk to you about brand alignment a little bit. You know, we obviously, the town hall is a platform for me to do just that, which is align myself with these big brands to tell their sustainability stories. And Nisola is actually doing something relatively similar in the ethical marketplace online. They have, and I mean, you know this, I'm just telling the listeners, but they've made shopping for sustainable brands a lot easier because they almost have this little storefront of different like-minded brands. How do you guys decide which brands align with your values to promote on the Nisola website?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'll zoom out a little bit and share about kind of the inspiration for why we launched an ethical marketplace to begin with. Nisola in English means not alone. It's a recognition of the importance of relationships. And it's also a recognition that to achieve our vision of pushing the fashion industry in a more sustainable direction, we're not going to be able to do that on our own. It's going to require collaboration. It's going to require other brands coming alongside and championing this movement for us. And so we really launched the Ethical Marketplace to be a platform of collaboration with like-minded brands. We have a really thorough vetting process that looks into all of the social and environmental processes of all of our partner brands. And so I get to lead that process where anytime we identify a product that we think matches really well with the Nisola aesthetic that we want to sell to our customers, I do an in-depth assessment with that brand, typically the person that's working in sustainability. I'll connect with their manufacturers as well. What we're really looking for is, and I can share a bit more about the, I'll share it with you after our call also. We actually have a code of conduct that we expect all brand partners to meet. The highlights kind of being paying their producers a living wage. We really emphasize 100% living wages and 0% net carbon on our products. Not all of our brand partners are climate neutral certified, but several are doing quite a bit of environmental work as well, whether it's sustainable materials or a resale program or a take back program. We're really looking for organizations that share in our mission alignment.
That deep dive in the code of conduct reminds me a lot, obviously, of the insane rigorous standards for a B Corp certification. So kind of segueing into that, what does Nisola's B Corp certification mean to you and to the company as a whole?
B Corp, yeah, it's been a great journey for us. For anyone who's not familiar with B Corps, I'll share a little bit about what a certified B Corp is. Essentially, certified B corporations, they meet the highest standards of verified social and environmental performance, transparency, and accountability. the organization B-Lab that's behind it is focusing on using, they're focusing on using business as a force for good. And so B Corps are essentially embracing a new way of doing business. And we've been B Corp certified since 2017. There were a lot of reasons to pursue that certification. One of the major reasons for us in fashion specifically is just the issue of greenwashing. Greenwashing is when an organization will spend a lot more time, effort, and market and energy on marketing sustainability rather than actually investing in ways to truly be socially and environmentally responsible. This organization did a research study on, I think they did a study on about 500 fashion brands, and they found that 40% that claimed that they had some kind of, you know, eco-friendly label actually had no data to back up those claims. And so B Corporation for us, third-party certification is really a means for us to have an independent organization to do a holistic assessment of our business, really look under the hood of everything and assess and verify that we're actually doing what we're saying we're doing. And so it's a really thorough assessment. As a certified B Corporation, you go through the B Impact Assessment that has over 200 questions ranging from living wages within your supply chain to the way in which you're structured and your governance, what your impact looks like on communities you're sourcing from. It goes really in depth on the environmental side as well, looking at carbon emissions, your environmental management system. For me, it's the most holistic assessment of an entire business's operations. There's a lot of third-party assessments, certifications that are really specialized because they need to be to really know the key issues. B Corp has found a way to be really specialized and also embrace kind of the holistic side of the business. So like I said, we've been certified since 2017. We recently recertified with a score of 115. You need a passing score of at least 80, and several thousand organizations have gone through the B Impact Assessment. The median score is about a 50.8. And so we're really proud of that 115 score. We're in the top 10% of all fashion brands that are B Corp certified. There's about 120 total. It's a growing movement, which is really exciting. It's growing quickly. And yeah, we're just super grateful to be a part of that community. Not only is it, you know, that third party verification of our practices, but it also really helps us. It points out tons of areas of improvement. And so no brand, ourselves included, is perfect. We recognize that we have a lot of great work that we look forward to doing to improving our social and environmental practices. And B Corp kind of helps us lay out a roadmap for where we want to be in the next year, 3 years, 10 years. It just helps to be more strategic about your sustainability work and journey more generally.
From one very proud B Corp to another, I mean, that may be the best description we've ever had of that process on the show. So thank you for that. And you can tell the reason why you're able to answer these questions so well, in my opinion, is your passion is very palpable. And I'm sure a lot of that stays with you when you leave the office, or, you know, we're all working from home these days. So when you log off, and I think the zero waste journey and all of different waste reduction practices are things that we, you know, talk about in our daily lives at work, but we need to take them home with us. So what kind of things do you do in your daily routine to ward off waste when you can?
Yeah, that's a great question. I surf just about daily. I'm really lucky to get to live in Ventura, California, where we've got pretty consistent waves year round. And so just being in the natural environment daily is a really good way for me to be connected with the planet. Paddling around, you encounter a lot of trash. One of the ways is just removing plastic waste from the Pacific Ocean more directly and more personally, kind of in my home. Been partnering with a friend who does composting here in Ventura. And I think just living small also, I'm really grateful to get to live in a little 650 square foot bungalow. And so everything that I own, I basically see every day, and it makes me very conscious of if there's ever anything superfluous or extra that gets sold or given away pretty quickly. So just living with things that you need, and it's very Marie Kondo-esque, but just trying to be simple and being a minimalist with surrounding yourself with things that you enjoy just seeing and having. So I have a lot of areas to improve in that specifically, but those are some of the quick ways.
I think you might be the coolest person I know. and with that, it is time to play our rapid fire game. So I'm just going to ask you 10 easy, quick questions, and you just say the first thing that comes to your mind. You ready?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay. What was one thing that the pandemic taught you? One thing you learned over the last, you know, year and a half?
Oh, taught me relationships are everything. Kind of those two things. I'm already cheating on the question, but they're kind of combine and go together. The importance of relationships and how central relationships are to our life. And then at the same time, it taught me the importance of introspection as well. And the beauty of getting to know oneself also. Yeah, those two go hand in hand.
In that same pandemic vein, what was the last show or series or, you know, whatever that you watched on TV?
Oh, what was the last series? That chess one on Netflix.
Queen's Gambit.
Gambit was great. Yeah, it's been so good. I've really gotten a lot more into reading, though.
My next question is, what are you reading right now?
Oh my gosh, this book is blowing my mind right now. Maxine Bidet of the New Standard Institute just put out this incredible book called Unraveled. It's about the impacts of the fashion industry, and she does an incredible deep dive into the journey of a pair of jeans from a cotton farm in Texas where it comes from to its end of life in a landfill in Haiti. And this book is just, she does an incredible job of marrying really great data and just legitimate data with great kind of first person storytelling, because she does investigative journalism and visits all of these stages across the value chain for this pair of jeans. So I'm only a third in, but if you're working in the fashion industry specifically, it is a must read for sure.
If you had a talk show, who would your first guest be?
Probably Yvon Chouinard. I just think he's brilliant. Founder of Patagonia. I'd love to hear just more of his philosophy on how he's found a way to have just an incredible life in the outdoors with a really effective business as well. I have a lot of respect for him and a lot of questions for him.
Who's the last person that you texted?
Oh, my friend that I went surfing with a couple days ago, asking about the waves today. They're not as good.
What's one song that you could listen to over and over again and not get sick of it?
I've been listening to more of the Rolling Stones. Miss You is incredible. You need some quick energy to start your day.
What's the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Love the person in front of you. I think just going about your day, looking for opportunities to, whether it's family or a close friend, someone you know really well, or if it's a complete stranger, if you're living in love, you'll get to where you need to be.
What was your first concert?
I think it was Switchfoot back when I was like 10 years old.
What? When you were little, what did you want to be when you grew up?
An NBA player. I was a big Blazers fan. I grew up in Portland, Oregon.
And what does success mean to you?
Success for me is giving my life away, both personally and professionally. Just really feel that I'm grateful to get to be here and be present with the people around me, and just want to give of my time and joy and resources to make the world better.
Matt, thank you so much for all of the amazing work that you and the Nasolo team are doing. This episode was like very inspiring, also very calming and meditative. And I think everyone's going to take a lot away from it. So I can't thank you enough for being here today.
Thank you so much, Amy. Really appreciate you.